Well, we're going to do things a little bit different today. You can be seated for a moment. I'm going to ask. We have some ushers in the back, and we've got just a little booklet we'd like to pass on to you today. A tribute in a sense to those who died 10 years ago, and to help us to go home remembering what took place. So I'm going to ask the ushers, you go ahead and come, men. Come down to the front, and you can work their way back through. What we're asking is each family get one of these little booklets to take with you this morning. And the extras will be in the back on the table if you need more of them. But I'll make sure every family gets at least one of them. You know, it's pretty obvious to us as we are here this morning that everyone that was old enough to have a memory knows where they were 10 years ago this morning when we heard about that first plane that crashed into the World Trade Center towers. In a matter of minutes later, we saw or heard about the second plane that hit the other tower. And then, to our horror, we heard about a third plane that zeroed in on the Pentagon. And then finally, of course, we heard about those courageous folk, truly of the American spirit, that brought that plane down in a field in Pennsylvania before it could crash into the Capitol or even the White House. And I know our hearts and minds go to those families today that lost loved ones. Nearly 3,000 people died that day. Worst attack to ever take place on American soil. Be mindful of those folks that left their homes that day, much like you and I left our house this morning. Just like any other day, went off to work and ended up dying in their offices. Those that on their planes who may have been on their way home or maybe on their way to vacation, maybe even on their way just to grandma's house for a visit, and they died. And we honor those. We honor those indeed that died. We honor those who died trying to help, trying to rescue others on that fateful day. You know, if you're like me, and I'm sure you are, my heart would swell this week. And the tears would flow as I would hear the testimonies of survivors that made their way out of the towers, out of those twin towers. The testimonies of those ones that were on their way down those stairwells. And somewhere along the way, as they were on their way down, there were firemen that were charging their way up those stairs just to do what they could do. And of course, 300 and some firemen died that day just doing what they could do. And today we remember them all. We remember the thousands of families that still hurt, still mourn the deaths of their loved ones. Beloved, we also remember the thousands that have died since that day, going after those who were behind that horrible, murderous plot. Forgive me if you will, if you don't like such things to be take place in church. But personally, I realize today that Jim Turner could have been born anywhere on this earth planet. But I was blessed to be born here in these United States of America. I consider it a privilege to be born here. Father, we bow before you today. Lord, as we gather here in this church house, we're here to worship you. We're here to exalt the lovely name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're here to magnify Him and to glorify Him. But Father, we want to pause, not just for a moment of silence. Father, we want to pause to seek your face, to plead with you on behalf of the thousands of families that grieve today. Those who remember a dad or a son, mother, sister. Father, those that are mindful of loved ones who died in that horrible, horrible day. But Father, I also remember the young men and women, soldiers, that have also died. And I pray, Father, that you do for their families. Oh, God, enter in and minister to them. Help them, Father, to help them to be able to deal with it all. And Father, I pray that these United States of America would understand, Father, would comprehend the depth of the privilege that is ours to be citizens of this nation. Place, Father, where we are still free to gather in the church house of our choice, to call out to the name that is above every name today. Father, I'm praying that as we as a church would continue in the cause of Christ to declare and preach the soul-freeing, liberating gospel of Jesus Christ. It's in His name, Father, for His glory that we pray. Amen. I'd ask you to stand with me. If you'd stand with me, we've tried to move the flag out here a little bit where we could see it a little better. We're going to recite, repeat the Pledge of Allegiance, and then Brother John's going to come back and lead us in our national anthem.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
may be seated.
Stand with us once more, and let's turn to 275. We'll sing the first and last verse.
When peace, my
stood across with my Lord raised to the sky, and all who kneel there live forever as all the saints can testify. I'm so glad to be called a Christian, to be named with the ransom and hope as the citizen, so the cross liberates the soul. Oh, the cross is my statue of liberty. It was there that my soul was set free, unashamed I proclaim that a rugged cross is my statue of liberty.
And in reverence to the Word of God. I feel like I've been to church. I don't know about you. I feel like we've been in the presence of glory today. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We read two verses there. 1 Corinthians 14 verse, excuse me, just one verse there. It says, for if a trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? And then we read in Luke chapter 14 and verse 31. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh again him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. Father, we bow before you. Lord, we're grateful. We're so thankful for your mercy to us. Thankful, Father, that you would be pleased to meet with us this morning. Father, this hour we pray that you'd grant us your Spirit in a very special way. We pray that you would grant us your presence, and might you display that presence by your power. Anoint your Word, Father. Give us a word from yourself today.
Lord, I wholly and completely recognize my own frailty and feebleness, and ask in Jesus' name that You would direct, control everything that is said and what is not said. That You would deliver a word to our hearts today. Help us, Father, in these trying times, that we would be the people of God that You'd have us to be. That we, Your army, Father, the army of this cross that was just sung about a moment ago. Thankful, Father, that we that are under the blood of that cross are citizens of Your kingdom. And we rejoice today not just in a temporal freedom that we enjoy here in our nation, but in eternal freedom, the liberty that is ours because of Jesus and Calvary. Lord, I pray for anyone that might be within these walls today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Please, Lord, I ask You in the name of Your Son, don't let them go from this place without Christ. Today might be that day, oh my, that they'd be saved, gloriously saved and delivered from their bondage to sin. We love You, Lord. Thank You. We rejoice in Your love for us. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Of course, we'll be seated. I'm going to deal with something today that might not be the most popular message I've ever preached. Might be okay in this room, might not be. Certainly possible that some that may even hear it over the internet could get upset. So be it. It's certainly not a PC message, not a politically correct message. For 10 years now, we've had thousands, literally thousands of young men and women in the Middle East, Iraq and Afghanistan fighting a war that at its roots, beloved, is a religious war. Albeit a one-sided religious war. Now some would say, no, Pastor, you're wrong about that. This war is all about oil. It's all about U.S. domination of the rest of the world. And I'd ask you, how do you know that? Well, you'd know it because that's what ABC and CBS and NBC are telling you to believe. You can believe me or you can not believe me, doesn't really matter. But history, past and history current as it's being written, bears out, are you listening? Bears out that Islam will never fulfill its self-proclaimed goal and destiny until it subdues and controls this earth. That's a fact. It's a fact. If you don't believe me, you do your own research. That was Muhammad's vision, beloved, to control the earth. And that's the vision of Muslim leaders today. If they believe their quote-unquote holy book, that's what they believe. There is a battle going on. There is a war taking place. And to begin this morning, I want to remind us, as we've read, I want to reread those verses we just looked at, that to remind us how important it is to be prepared for battle. To be prepared and to understand your enemy. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8 says, "For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, an undiscernible sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? If the warning does not come, who will prepare themselves for battle?" The answer is obvious. In Luke chapter 14, the Lord Jesus Christ tells of this king. He asks the question, what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? The question or the statement is very clear. We would have to, we should come to the conclusion from these verses, from the Word of God, that it is wise, beloved, it is important to understand your enemy and his capabilities. The United States of America has an enemy that has openly and clearly declared its disdain and its contempt for Americans and for the American way of life. It is an enemy that has nothing but contempt for Christians and for Christianity. No smart, no wise commander will send his army into battle without getting as much information as he possibly can about the enemy. Why? Right? Sure, that's right. They call that the gathering of intelligence. It's simply good sense. It's wise. It is the reasonable. It is the logical thing to do. Once you have that intelligence, once you have that information, what do? You prepare yourself, do you not? You prepare yourself to defeat your enemy. Stick with me. Please stick with me. If you've learned, if you have come to if you've received the knowledge, the understanding that your enemy will do anything that it takes to destroy you and kill you, how should you react? If you find that your enemy does not value innocent life, how should you respond? If you understand that your enemy will stop at nothing for the sake of his cause, what should you do? The logical and the reasonable answer to those questions is to do whatever it takes to stop, to neutralize, to destroy your enemy before he destroys you. Please stick with me here. Anything less would seem to be insane, would not be sanity. And I say that to warn us, to warn us. I don't know what to say about our nation in these days, but we need to be warned. There is a danger of political correctness gone haywire, gone insane. Did you know that there are now more Muslims in the world than there are Roman Catholics? Interesting. Statistics put the number of Muslims in the world at between 900 million and 1.2 billion. Islam is growing at 2.9% per year. The total world population growth is 2.3% annually. That says, beloved, the statistics say that Islam is growing faster than the world's population. It is estimated by the year 2025 that Muslims will outnumber the Christian population by 5%. There are 150,000 converts to Islam each year. We must ask the question. We must ask a very important question, because many would tell me that you're crazy, preacher. You're worried about nothing, preacher. What is the matter? Well, you're one of those ignorant, fundamental fanatics. Well, yes, I am one of them. I is what I is, I guess. Well, listen carefully. Is the Muslims Allah And the Christian's God, the same God. Listen to this. The Bible teaches, and this is the ultimate test right here. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Quran teaches that Allah had no son. The Bible teaches a Godhead made up of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Quran teaches that Allah is one and that the Trinity is a Christian lie. God's Word, the Bible, teaches us to love your enemy. Allah's Word, the Quran, teaches that if your enemy will not renounce his God, kill your enemy. God's book, the Bible, teaches to speak the truth in love. Allah's book, the Quran, teaches that it is fine, it is absolutely fine and legitimate to lie for several reasons, but especially if it promotes Islam. The Bible teaches that by faith in Christ we become the children of God. The Quran teaches that it is impossible to have a personal relationship with Allah. God's Word teaches that salvation is through grace, or is by grace through faith, without works. Allah's Word, the Quran, teaches that outside of martyrdom, there is no guarantee of salvation until death, when you are judged by Allah as to whether your good works outweigh your evil works or bad works. The Bible, the Word of God, offers heaven for free to those who believe and follow Jesus Christ. An obedient Muslim cannot be sure of his destiny without works. Muslims, the children are in chapel, children's church. Muslims are offered a palace with 72 mansions, with 72 homes, with 72 sheets on 72 beds, with 72 virgins. Muhammad said, quote, "The person who participates in holy battles, in Allah's cause, and nothing compels him to do so except belief in Allah and His apostles, he will be recompensed by Allah either with a reward or booty, if he survives, or will be admitted to paradise if he is killed." Secondly, quote, the Quran, "They, that is true believers, will sit with bashful dark-eyed virgins as chaste as the sheltered eggs of ostriches." Surah 37:48. The promise of heaven to those who die in battle for the cause of Allah is a promise. The only way a Muslim can know a guarantee of glory is to die in martyrdom. Is it any wonder we have so many willing to die as martyrs? Conversion to Islam is simple, but Muslims are forbidden to convert from Islam to another religion. It's considered apostasy of Islam and punishable by death. No freedom of conscience exists in countries where Sharia law has been established. No freedom of conscience exists in countries where Sharia law has been established. Have you heard the debates in our country about applying Sharia law? We've gone insane. Certain Islamic countries are known for their restrictions on religious freedom, highly favoring Muslim citizens over non-Muslim citizens. Dear ones, barely, hardly even scratching the surface concerning these things. Spent hours with my stomach in knots over the last days reading one passage of the Quran after another, legitimizing, even praising those who kill and conquer for the cause of Allah. Is Allah. Does it sound like Allah and the Christian God are one and the same God? Not hardly. No, not hardly. The two systems of belief are polar opposites, beloved. With that said, with all of that said, are you listening? Well, all of this said, I do not believe that the answer to Islam is to physically wipe them out. Beloved, church, I'm convinced the only answer to Islam in America is evangelism. The only answer to Islam in America is the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's answer. God's answer to Islam is what I'm concerned with. Remember, beloved, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that He said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, "But I, Jesus Christ, say unto you, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you." That's what God's instruction to Jim Turner is. But God's instruction to us is, love them. Love the Muslim. We didn't say love Islam. We're not instructed to love a lie. We're not instructed to love that which puts folks into bondage. We are indeed to love the Muslim. Remember, God hates sin. And He has, beloved, He has provided salvation for the sinner. And there is no sinner. There is no sinner beyond the hope of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we hear that? There is no sinner beyond salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have, beloved, we have the gospel. And what is that? The good news of forgiveness of sin, cleansing from sin in the blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my, please stick with me. We're failing in our responsibility to evangelize, beloved. I'm failing in my responsibility to evangelize. We've permitted, I believe I have permitted Satan to convince me that Muslims will not get saved. It's a lie. The lost Muslim is no more saved than any other heathen, just like me. He's no more lost than I was the day before I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. The day before that the blood of the Lamb cleansed me from all my sin and set me free from its bondage, beloved. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9, those beautiful, wonderful words that we treasure. That by grace, beloved, by grace are you saved through faith. And what? Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No, beloved, not a one of us will stand before God in our own merit, in the value of our own works. but we'll stand there proclaiming that we're there because of that blood, the blood of Jesus Christ that cleansed us from all our sins. The Bible teaches that we can know we're saved, unlike the entrapped Muslim that can never know that his only hope of eternal salvation, eternal deliverance, is if he would kill. Is that amazing? That his only guarantee that he would destroy and kill in the name of his false God. 1 John chapter 5. Oh, thank you, Lord. 1 John chapter 5. In verse 13, the apostle writes under the inspiration of that third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, that these things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, that you may know, that you may know you have eternal life. Oh my, we have the gospel in the Lord Jesus Christ. I needed that good news one day. Huh? Is not the Muslim just as deserving as I am? Huh? I was born in a ridge up in the hills of Pennsylvania. But I could have been born in Ur of the Chaldees. Huh? Modern day Iraq. Huh? Am I more deserving than that individual? Absolutely not. We have freedom, beloved. We've sang today the Star Spangled Banner, America. We recited the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of our nation. By the way, it's a nation that still stands under God. We have freedom in this land. If you go to if you go to Saudi Arabia, you better hide your Bible. You're not allowed. It's against the law to have one there. Huh? You go to Egypt, even in its state of flux, you better be careful. It's against the law to hand somebody a gospel tract. And so it is throughout the Muslim world. Certainly, where Sharia law is the law of the nation. We right here in these United States of America are free. But beloved, listen to me. We're free here to witness to the Muslim. Huh? We have the liberty here to witness to the Muslim. In Saudi Arabia, in Iran, in Iraq, in Pakistan, and you go on and name the list, make the list. It's illegal to convert from Islam to any other religion, let alone Christianity. They're free here in these United States of America to put their faith and their trust in the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? We have freedom to witness to the Muslim. And yet, to my knowledge, there's not a single Muslim country where there's complete freedom to witness. In those countries, it's against the law to tell a Muslim how they can be saved. And absolutely, absolutely forbidden on consequence of death to convert from Islam. But free. Here, we are free. Here, we are free to witness to Muslims. We're free here to tell them. We're free to tell them how they can have hope, beloved. We are free to tell them how they can have the confidence through the grace, the free gift of God of eternal life. Huh? Are we getting it? We getting the message? We're freedom to witness to them and tell them how they can be forgiven of sin. I remember when Marcia and I were in Kenya many years ago, we actually had dinner one night in the home of a Muslim family. And there at that home, they were of Indian descent and had settled a generation or two earlier in Kenya. And I remember sitting there in their front room, and one of the more outspoken members of the family going on and on and bragging about how wonderful Islam is, trying to be respectful of their home and listening to him go on and on about how he was doing so many wonderful things to work his way to be with Allah. Who, by the way, beloved, there's no such thing as a personal relationship with Allah. You and I have the privilege to bend our knee and say, "Our Father." Huh? We can pray to our Father in heaven. Beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died so that we could have that relationship with Him, where He says in the book of Hebrews, "I'm not ashamed to call them brethren." Hallelujah! That the Son of God would be pleased to call me His brother. Islam knows nothing of that. And we're free to tell them about it. We're free to tell them how they can be set free from that bondage that they live in and day out. Oh my, Satan seeks to keep the Muslim in bondage, to preemptively telling him that Allah had no son. What do you think, beloved? Think about this. What do you think God's heart is towards somebody in such bondage? What do you think God's heart is towards those that are in bondage and into the domination of a false religion? Do you believe? Do you think that it's His desire that we tell them? Huh? Do you think that it's God's desire that we share the gospel with the Muslim world? I believe it is. I don't know if how many of us really, really captured how excited Tom Gaudet was when he shared that the Urdu New Testament, the Urdu Bible, was being printed. You say, what's the big deal about that? That's the main language in Pakistan. Huh? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Huh? The Word of God. They can't suppress the Word of God. In Muslim countries, as we've said, it's a death sentence to convert to Christianity. But in America, he can hear and be saved and set free. Huh? Oh my. God sent His Son. Now listen. God sent His Son into a world that didn't want Him. Jesus came into a world that rejected Him. Came to a world that murdered Him. Huh? Are you listening? The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, left glory, left His place at the right hand of the throne of God, went to a people that did not want Him, went to a people that ultimately murdered Him. And yet, He was pleased to lay down that life, of His own accord. He's the Son of God. He died for you and for me. You know what? Before I got saved, I couldn't have cared less about Jesus Christ. Before God got a hold of my heart. Are you different? Maybe you had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home where Jesus was respected and all that, all those good things. But beloved, I didn't. I could care less. In fact, I shudder to tell you some of the things I did to blaspheme that holy name. But in spite of that, He manifested His love towards me in that while I was yet a sinner, died for me. That's love, beloved. That's love for those who did not love Him. I don't know if you'll have this. I don't know if you'll receive what we're saying or not, beloved. But yes, there have been innocent lives murdered in the name of Allah. Not just here. In the United States of America. But it goes on daily around the world. Can we identify with the Lord Jesus Christ? Can we, beloved, love those who hate us in His name? Now, I know from what we've read here in the Word of God where I will spend eternity. My earthly life can be snuffed out before I leave this room. But I'll not lose a day of life for eternity upon eternity. I cannot lose. I remember reading the story some months ago of a young pastor's wife. I believe it was in Sudan or Indonesia. I'm sorry for not remembering the right place. In a Muslim country. Where her husband and she were dragged from their house. Her husband murdered in front of her and their child's eyes. And as she bowed beside her dead husband's body, prayed for the souls of the men that had killed him. Could I do that? I don't know. But I believe Jesus could have. I believe that Jesus would have done it. And I've got the hope of eternal life that is mine in Him. In John chapter 20, please listen careful to these words from the lips of Jesus. John chapter 20, in verse 21, Jesus Jesus said this, As the Father has sent me. He's saying, in the same way that the Father sent me, send I you. For it's convict me, beloved. They smite my heart. I'm to have the same spirit He had. Same attitude that He had towards those that hated and persecuted Him. Even in the same way as the Father sent Him, Jesus sends us to a lost, dying, perishing world. So we need to understand. We talked about at the beginning understanding our enemy. Know your enemy. Beloved, our enemy is not the Muslim. Our enemy is Satan. Our enemy is the one who holds the souls of men in bondage and darkness and blindness. And beloved, the only thing, the only answer to that bondage, the only answer to that blindness and darkness is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The same message that turned the lights on, if I can say it that way, in my heart, is the same message that will deliver the Muslim from his bondage and his darkness, his sin, his slavery to the prince of darkness, Satan himself. Unfortunately, there are very, very few Christians that witness to anyone. And the percentage of those who do witness, that witness to Muslims, is minuscule. So I know, I realize that this message today may be very tough for us. It's hard to love those whose professed goal is to kill you. I'm trying not to exaggerate. But the Lord Jesus Christ exhorts us, He challenges us, He commands us, and He enables us through His Spirit, through His presence, to love those very ones. Let's stand together, beloved. Father, this morning I'm at this place and I don't really know just how to close this service. Don't know exactly how to direct and lead this invitation today. But Lord, I simply ask You to deliver to our hearts, not the preacher's words, not just the statistics and all that, but Father, would You deliver to my heart, to each and every heart within this walls today, Your love. Your love for lost and dying sinners. Father, would You be pleased? God, help us to take the message, the good news of the life-changing, cleansing, forgiving message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, I don't know that maybe within these walls, even at this moment, there may be one or maybe a few, there may be many that are here and they don't know where they'll spend eternity. Father, I'm asking You in Jesus' name, please hold up before them this morning Your Son, Your wonderful, lovely Son. Father, please draw savingly, gloriously to Yourself today. And Father, I'm praying, oh God, I'm praying that You'd work in my heart, work in all of our hearts that are here today that are saved. Those of us that have been set free from that bondage, the darkness, that we'd understand that we're the only hope in this lost and this dying world. Oh, please, Lord, I'm asking You to save the Muslims. Save those that have been entrapped and snared in its clutches, Lord, in its darkness, that they might see the glorious light that is theirs in Jesus, Jesus Christ. Lord, we love You. And I'm thankful, I'm so thankful for those that You brought within these walls today. Lord, I pray we'd go from this place different. We go from this place impacted, changed through Your Word. We ask it, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and for His glory and our good. Amen and amen. Brother John.
Page 351.
These altars are open, beloved, if you just want to come pray.
Take up Thy cross and follow Me. I heard my Master say, I gave my life to ransom Thee. Surrender Your all today. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Who loves me so, wherever He leads, I'll go. He drew me closer to His side. I sought His will to know. And in that will I now abide. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go.
Say one thing before we sing one last verse. If you're here this morning and and you don't have that confidence that you're going to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have that confidence that you're saved today, please, I beg you, I plead with you, don't leave this church house until you've made things right with God. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Delivered from that bondage. Delivered from that darkness. We've got the hope, the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ of life eternal. Because of His love and His grace, His mercy on our behalf. Please, if you're any question, any doubt concerning your salvation, please come. Take this preacher by the hand. Say, Pastor, I just want to know that I'm going to heaven. I just want to know I'm saved. Please obey the Lord. Brother John, let's sing one more verse.
It may be through the shadows dim, or o'er the stormy sea, I take my cross and follow Him wherever He leadeth me. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go. My heart, my life, my all I bring to Christ who loves me so. He is my Master, Lord and King. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. I'd ask you to do me this request. Please pray. Pray for your pastor. I so want to be obedient to him, to his call. I want to be obedient as the Apostle Paul challenged Timothy to do that work of an evangelist. We preached the last couple weeks before this on that matter of prejudice and partiality. I don't ever want to hold the gospel back from anyone. To give that free message of grace to every creature. And as a church, might we have that burden, oh my, just simply for the lost and needy of this city. Huh? Well, it's good. Always good to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ. You can be seated as Curtis is coming. Most of you realize that we've started the children's church this morning. And so if you wonder where your children are, we didn't sell them to the gypsies. But that they're at the other end of the building in the chapel. And that's where we'll be, for the most part, holding children's church there. So amen. Trust that that it's going to be a blessing and a help to our ministries here. Brother Curtis.
Gentlemen, y'all come forward to receive this morning's offering. It's been a good day today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for us today. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful message that we've heard this morning. Lord, it's your free gift. It's not just for us, but those who do want to harm us. Help us to be bold and be a witness to them. Show them your love. Lord, right now, be at this offering we're about to receive, meet the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We got one of these today. Fortunately, Miss Myra, she took a well-deserved vacation, and I don't know what happened. I really don't know. They didn't give me enough crayons to get them all done. So let's just go over a few that I do have as far as announcements goes. Ladies' brunch will be tomorrow. Is that correct? Okay, got one right. Ladies' fellowship on the 13th, is that correct also? All right, I'm looking at Miss Marshall here, got two right. Ladies' retreat in Springtown on Saturday, October the 8th. We still have a sign-up in the back. I'm doing good. Okay, ladies' cookbook recipes need to be turned in. And again, Miss Marshall, am I right? Miss Donna, or are you? Okay, I'm doing real good. I'm better than most right now. Supplies for the baskets to be turned in. Again, Miss Marcia? We're good. All right. Ladies ensemble tonight? All right. Now that we got all the ladies stuff out of the way. Whew. September 24th, the youth is having an activity. It's going for this is involving youth and their parents. We want to have a get together for all the youth and the parents. We want to have a $10 per family cost on that, and it's going to be on Saturday the 24th. Is that right? Did I get the date right? Okay, I thought I did. Tonight's ladies ensemble. I've already said that. I do believe choir practice at 5:00. Ladies visitation as usual Wednesday at 10:00. Okay. Youth choir practice Wednesday at 6:15 in the evening. Let's see, what else am I missing? Church visitation at 11:00. Hey, folks, that's church visitation. And it's at 11. And we seems like it's been a youth visitation. But yes, we do. But that is a church visitation. Come. We got folks that need to be seen. And We've been very blessed to have visitors come in, and I don't know if we've ever actually said hi to any of them at their doors. We go this way, and the Lord sends them this way for some reason. He just blesses in spite of it all. Come and see what it's all about. We could use some help on it. So, your turn.
All right, let's stand, please, and we'll sing our chorus, "We'll Work Till Jesus Comes."
We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes, and we'll be gathered home.
You're dismissed.